Monday, everyone, and thank you for joining us here. Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you for joining us here today. You are listening to Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz here on the Life Coach Radio Network. Today is Monday, July 21st. I am Monica Ortiz, broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California. I'm a certified life coach and the host of Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz, where we will be discussing all aspects of life and the universal principles to give you the tools to develop and keep success, good health, and fulfillment in all aspects of your life. On today's episode, we have Andrew Dow. Andrew is both a student of mine and also works with me at the Universe Series, where we strive to make a positive impact in all of the lives we touch on a daily basis. About midway through this show, we will be taking callers, so if you have a question, please call 646-716-9397, and we can talk. A great big welcome, Andrew Dow. How are you today?
I'm doing very good. Thank you for the introduction, Monica. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Today's the first show of Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz, so I'm very, very excited. I hope you're excited, too, because you are a part of this.
Yeah, I am. We've been working on the show for a couple of months, really figuring out what radio network we want to be on and planning out all the great content we have for the viewers. So I'm very excited for the show to start and honored to be the first guest interviewed.
Yay. Well, I have to say something. You and I have had quite a road together. And by the way, it has been 1 year since we've been working together. So happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to us. It's been a crazy year. At the very beginning, I remember you told me that the next year was going to be a big roller coaster. With lots of ups and lots of downs, and that the whole thing, the whole ride would be super exciting if I knew what I was getting into, and I had and I made sure to have a seatbelt on. And I don't think the seatbelt was always on, but you know, it was exactly the ride you told me it was going to be, and it's been an amazing year, it's been a super amazing year.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's good that it's been amazing. I really have to ask you, what was it? Because I want our listeners to hear. I know that you and I have spoken about this, but I really want our listeners to hear, what was it that prompted you to make a change in your life?
It was a lot of things, actually. But if I really had to zero in on it, it was the fact that I had really been working my butt off for the last, at the time I was 24 years old when I first met you, so for the last, I wouldn't say 10 years since high school, college, working, all of it with the goal to succeed in life so that I could be happy, believing that like success and happiness was this destination I was going to get to if I did enough stuff. And I guess over those 10 years, you know, especially at the time I met you, honestly, just in months preceding the time that I met you, I had really started to see my life start to fall apart because of all the stress of trying to achieve things, trying to accomplish things, trying to do well at my work, trying to be a certain kind of guy so that my guy friends would respect me, trying to be a certain kind of guy so that my family would respect me, but, you know, really trying to be something and always feeling like I wasn't really that thing that I was trying to be, that even though I looked like a successful person on the outside and I had the accomplishments on the inside, it really felt hollow. And that hollowness was actually driving me to become even more desperate and do things that really raised a lot of concern in my life from my close friends and honestly from deep inside of me. I was doing things that I thought was really wrong. But I was doing them because I thought that it would get me the image that I wanted and that image would then get me the success and that success would get me the happiness that I'd always been looking for. But when I met you, I was finally ready to say, this path sucks. And I've been trying all my life to fit into it, and it's not working. And in you, I thought I saw someone who understood how to really be happy in my life, who could help point me in the right direction and give me the tools I needed to really succeed in building a happy, successful life in the way that I view success, not in the way that other people view success. And I thought you were an authentic, genuine person, and that was kind of like the number one biggest thing I was looking for, and the number one thing I thought was most rare in our world is finding authentic, genuine, kind, helpful people. So that's what motivated me to, once I realized this, that's what motivated me to say, like, okay, Monica, please work with me, help me out, because I'm lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely, when we started working together, I think I told you that it was going to be a lot of work on your side and on my side as well. And I think that it has been, but I believe that the work has paid off because you are, I've talked to a few of your family members and I've spoken to some of your friends, and they all agree that you're such a different person today than you were a year and some odd weeks ago. So
yeah.
I think that the work has paid off. I love that you spoke about the fact that you were trapped by expectations, and you were trapped by those expectations of not only the people in your life, but also of the expectations that you were putting upon yourself as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I sometimes forget to think about that, but I had a lot of expectations about who I had to be and how I had to dress and, you know, what kind of people I hung out with and what stories I told and the way that I came off. And if I didn't meet those expectations, I wouldn't literally go to a corner and beat myself up, but I would go into my head and I would beat myself up and I'd say, like, dude, you're so stupid, Andrew. Like, come on. You said the wrong thing. Like, you should be able to do better than that. You know better than that. And I would just really get into this downward spiral of mentally putting myself down and saying I wasn't good enough, and all because I had these crazy expectations that I had learned from people around me, from TV shows, from movies, from living the life I lived about the way that I was supposed to be. I kind of had this big idea of who I'm supposed to be, and anytime I didn't match it, I would instantly, like, go into this negative spiral.
Yeah. What is the... I'm going to ask you because I have to know. What is the biggest thing that you learned from me in the time that we've been together?
I think the biggest thing I always tell people is honesty. What was that?
I said very nice, very nice.
Yeah, it's honesty. Should I elaborate on that?
Sure, absolutely. I would love to hear it.
Okay. When I met you, I was a great big, talented, smart, accomplished. I was talented, smart, accomplished, but I was also pretty dishonest. You know, I didn't know how to really be myself. All those expectations that I had on myself pushed me to exaggerate my accomplishments. It pushed me to exaggerate stories and tell taller tales than what actually happened in my life, so that I would be perceived a certain way. And the dishonesty, it kind of permeated everything. It was like, it was just like I wasn't a really genuine person. And working with you, actually reading your book, For the people who are listening right now, I read Monica's book in the span of one night. A friend had given it to me, and one of the first things she talks in the book is about complete honesty. And, you know, like I said, like, I'm paraphrasing, but it either said, like, if you're going to be completely honest with things, and ask yourself who you are today, like, who am I, and who do I want to be? If you can really honestly answer these two questions, you'll be able to make a plan to get yourself into whatever life you want to be. And I realized that who I was right now was dishonest, that I didn't feel good about the way that I lived my life. I didn't feel good about the way that I handled my relationships with my friend or with my girlfriend or with my family, because I didn't tell them the truth about who I was. I had learned to hide parts of myself that I thought other people wouldn't accept. And the honest truth is that I learned to hide those parts because I had learned not to accept myself. And it could be anything from, like, a dream of, like, hey, I really want to go out and help people. I think that's a good, awesome thing, and I want to have close friends that I can call up any time of the day. That's my dog in the background. He's excited by what we're talking about.
That's awesome. He's probably sitting there seeing you all serious. He's going, here you go, Andrew. Tell him about your life.
So the biggest thing was honesty. It was learning how to accept who I am and accept that I had done some things in my life that I wasn't proud of, and that wasn't the end of the world. I think that's the short of it. Maybe Ty was telling me I was being too long-winded, and I should state it more simply.
Yeah.
I just learned how to be honest with who I am.
For all of our listeners out there, Andrew has this beautiful dog. His name's Tiberius, so I love him. He's awesome. I think that one of the things that people get caught up in is we spoke about the trap of expectations, but we also get caught up in judgment. And what people don't realize is while we're judging other people, we have a tendency to really judge ourselves. And, you know, you've heard the saying over and over, I'm my biggest critic. A lot of people judge themselves. And I have to say, we've all made mistakes in our life. We are all guilty of it. But those mistakes aren't there to damage you, they're not there to keep you down, they're not there for you to keep judging yourself, and they're not there for you to continue to feel bad about it. Those errors in judgment are there for you to do your learn, grow, evolve, for you to really learn something about yourself and grow from that learning and then evolve. And the evolution is to make your life better, to have tomorrow be different, to have the day after that be different. So in the learning of it, you know that that mistake was just that. It was just an error in judgment. And we really have to stop judging ourselves. So I think that you've learned that, and I think that you've stopped judging yourself, which is a really, really good thing. You and I had a conversation earlier, and you enlightened me a bit about how you kind of perceive me. We don't really talk about that so much because we, you know, in life coaching and in helping other people, mostly we focus on that person and their issues and getting them the tools they need to benefit their life. So I was very, I don't know what the word is, kind of flabbergasted at first to hear how you perceive me or what it is that I taught you. So can you elaborate that for our listeners?
Yeah. So one of the really cool things that's happened on this journey in the last year is I've become more intelligent. I've become an even more intelligent person. And it's thanks in large part to working with Monica. What I had shared with her earlier was that I had been trained in my life from a very early age, you know, in school, at home, you know, in college, in my first couple jobs outside of college. I had been trained to try to be the smartest guy in the room all the time, and to really, really value intelligence and to make sure that people around me knew that I was intelligent. And what this meant was that, like, it doesn't sound that bad on the surface, but what it meant, the way that it played out in daily life, was that I was in environments all the time where everyone was trying to be smarter than the person next to them. And that gets tiring super fast, because the other thing I also learned was, while you're doing this, you have to also pretend to be humble. You have to pretend to play nice with everybody else. But the truth is that, you know, for a lot of my life, I was walking into classrooms, walking into jobs, walking into meetings, thinking that, hey, I'm the smartest guy here, and the people around me, you know, they have to prove that they're smart to me too. And I need to make comments that really show them that I'm smarter than them. And it wasn't like about helping each other. It was kind of like a dysfunctional team. But then working with Monica over the last year, I was shocked at how smart she was when I finally realized how smart she was, because she didn't play the game the same way. Yeah, like I was shocked that she was smart. She didn't do those things that I was doing. She didn't always make it about how smart she was when we had a conversation. Like, what a surprise. You know, she's just listening and having a conversation, not trying to wave around metaphorical penis, you know, about with how smart she is. And yet that's how so much of my time at Stanford, so much of my time, you know, working in consulting, working in tech startups was. It was people sitting around, you know, whether it was in a meeting or at a bar, trying to impress everybody with how smart they were. And I didn't find this with Monica, but eventually I realized she is actually really smart, because she keeps helping me see new perspectives to the work that we're talking about. You know, we could be talking about an event that we're going to host and what we want people to get from it and what we're going to talk about. And I would have all these ideas, and I would think that I was clever and witty for thinking up these things. And then she would just come in and she'd say, okay, yeah, those are great things. Let's, you know, why don't we also do something like this? And if I had questions about it, she would answer my questions. But otherwise, she wasn't, you know, she wasn't there to let me know how smart she was. She was just there to get the job done. And after a while, I realized, dude, this woman is actually, she thinks about a lot more than I think about in throwing the event. She thinks about not just the content we're going to talk about, not just who's going to speak and when, and how we're going to get the audience engaged, and whether we should ask them two questions at the beginning to get them awake, or three questions. Then she's thinking about, like, what are people going to get from this? And if we say this story, you know, 5 months later, how is it going to connect to their life experience? And what can we do to plant the seeds of, you know, these positive ideas and these positive concepts and tools in them today, so that, you know, without telling them that they're living their lives in a suboptimal way, that they will eventually realize there's things they could do to live their lives in a better way. And she basically taught me these new perspectives without putting me down or making me feel like I wasn't smart, which is kind of the way that I had, which is different from the environments that I found, you know, at Stanford, different than the environments I found working in the corporate world, working in the tech startup world, where there are lots of smart people, but half the time they're focused on showing everybody else how smart they are, rather than really just being comfortable with where they are and helping people learn.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And I really, really hope that in the walk that I walk every day, it's really for me to help as many people as I can. So for me, in all honesty, I don't think about, oh, how smart am I going to sound, or how intelligent is this going to be, or whatnot. That's just not part of how I think. I do, and I have been accused of thinking about more than most people think about, but I think that for me, that's me practicing universal responsibility. It's me practicing how it is that I am affecting, how the decisions I make are going to affect not only me, but the people around me as well, because I know that things aren't just about me. But the reason I giggled, and just to let you know, is because, and I'm going to share, Andrew, if you don't mind, I'm just going to be honest. One day, Andrew and I were speaking on the phone, and it was about business. It wasn't about life coaching, because as Andrew's life coach, Andrew and I do life coaching together, but as Andrew's boss, he and I work together, so we both juggle that, and that's been quite a journey as well, learning how to do that. I'm sorry?
I said it's interesting to be business partners and also to be someone, like, to have you as a boss.
Yes, absolutely, to be teaching you how to live your life in the best possible way, but then also to be working with you on a daily basis, because even though you're in San Francisco and I travel all over the world, we really talk quite a bit. So in working with you, I had to learn how to juggle that. But one day, Andrew and I were speaking about business, and I was just kind of going over things with him. And then all of a sudden, he just stopped. And Andrew has this tendency where he'll just dead stop. And sometimes it's a very beautiful thing, because you'll see this kind of light bulb go on over his head, but he just dead stops. And so he dead stops. And I said, well, Andrew, what's going on? He said, Monica, I have to apologize to you. I said, oh, no, what happened? I wasn't sure what happened. He says, I just treated you like you were really stupid. He said, but you're not. You're actually very smart, and I've been not giving you, I guess maybe you thought I was expecting some kind of kudos or some kind of compliment or whatnot for it, but I thought that was very, very nice of you that you actually stopped and acknowledged the situation. And the apology was very genuine as well, which I was very proud of you about, because it was that little light bulb that went on, and you learned, I think, a lot from that, and that's why we were talking about it on the show today. So another question for you, Mr. Dow. In the growth that you've had over the past year, let me ask you something first, because I want our listeners to really understand you, because you are such a wonderful person, and I've watched you grow exponentially. It's been quite an amazing journey. How have the changes that you've been through, how have they not only affected you, because we just spoke about that, how have they affected the other people around you as well?
That's a great question.
I have all the great questions.
Have you talked about how it's affected me? Like, I will just like to quickly say I am a lot happier today. I feel like at the time that I came to Monica, I had just quit my job in the tech startup world, and it was kind of a crazy rash decision, because I was 6 months in at a tech company that's now valued, last I checked, I think it's like over $1 billion. I'm not positive, but I think it's valued at over $1 billion. So I left 6 months in, even though it's doing really well, because I thought that it was really not contributing to my happiness. I was feeling quite unhappy. But a year later, I'm in this new job. I do a couple different things, and I'm super happy. So that's where I am. But for the people around me, too, there have been these huge changes, partly because I've changed. Every relationship I've had with people around me has had to change with me. So with my brothers, I have an older brother. His name's Alex, and he's a year and a couple months older than me. And I have a younger brother. His name's Anthony, and he's a year and a few months younger than me, almost 2 years younger. And a year ago, I was really close to Alex, I think, as a friend, and I wasn't that close to Anthony. And I didn't really know how to be close to him. I wanted to be, but I think at the same time I was pretty selfish, and I was mostly wrapped up in my own life, and I didn't really think about what it meant to be someone's brother. And it was easy for me to be closer to Alex, because he was someone that I had always chased for most of my life and I wanted to be friends with. And he was also a very nice guy, and he, unlike me, understood what it meant to be someone's brother and what it meant to be someone's friend, and would oftentimes call me and reach out to me and stuff like that. And I didn't do that with my younger brother. So one of the things that changed in the last year is, as I became more aware of myself and what I did and how my actions impacted the people around me, and how I really couldn't just call somebody up and say, dude, we're brothers, we should be closer, we should hang out, you should tell me about what's going on in your life, I realized that I needed to make greater efforts with the people I wanted to be close to. And I started to I started to call my younger brother more often. I started to talk to my older brother about deeper things, about who he is in life and who he wants to be and how he feels about his job and his career and everything. I just really put in the effort to get closer to both my brothers. And, just a couple days ago, I spoke with my younger brother, and we chatted, and it was really cool. Like, it's really cool for me to feel like I'm close to both my brothers. With my parents, I have a better relationship with both my mom and my dad. I think you probably have questions about that later on, so I won't say too much about that right now. But with my girlfriend, we've gone from having, like, we used to have these 2-3 day, maybe a week long, like, steaming arguments where we would be pissed off at each other and, you know, both be unwilling to reconcile things or to see what's going on the other side. And we would just be, like, very defensive with each other, like, very much like, you did something wrong, you have to kneel down and apologize. I mean, not literally, but that's the way that we treat each other.
Yeah, right.
And just, like, you know, we loved each other back then, too, but we didn't really know how to interact with each other. And now, like, just this morning, we had a little bit of a disagreement, but neither of us yelled. And then within, you know, 20 minutes of it, within a car ride from our apartment to the BART station, we resolved it, and we talked about it, and we communicated how we were really feeling, what we were afraid of, you know, what made us insecure, and whether the way that we had just acted was the way we really wanted to act in our relationship, and what a possible fix could be. So as I made these changes in my life, I started to interact with people differently, and that changed all my relationships with them on the first level. But then the really strange thing that I thought also happened was, you know, I severely cut back on my drinking and using drugs, legal or illegal. And I noticed a lot of my friends did that too. I don't know if that's me or not, but I like to think that it's a part of what I do will also affect what my friends do, because we all see each other and we all, but there's that saying that you are the average of the 5 closest friends around you. I don't know if that's, you know, 100% true, but it seems directionally true, because once I stopped partying so much and stopped doing those things so much, I noticed a lot of my friends, you know, like, especially my brother, my older brother, and some other people in my life, kind of cut back too on how much we went out and we drank and we did drugs.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Not everybody does drugs. It's just like a, I'm not saying who or anything like that.
No, but it is an amazing transformation, because that was one of the things that I actually used to get, because I worked, our listeners should know, I was a financial analyst for many years, and as you know, when you work in a corporate environment, there are corporate parties, and so you go to these corporate parties, and there's drinking involved, and a lot of socializing involved, and I'm not a big drinker. I've never been a big drinker. I would either have a glass of water, sparkling water, or I would have a beer or a glass of wine, but I would only, throughout the entire length of the party, I would have and nurse this one glass. And, you know, people would at first always question me, hey, you're not drinking, don't you drink, don't you want another drink? And I would politely say, no, thank you. And I would, for some people, get a little bit of a frowny face, but other people just started knowing that that was just me, and it didn't make me sad, and it didn't make me anything different than who I was, which was this bubbly little character. So, you know, I think that as you continue to just be yourself, more people around you see you for you, and they just accept you for that. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And if by any direct relation that you're encouraging other people, hey, listen, you don't have to be happy to, you know, you don't have to have a drink to be happy. I had a client a few years ago who was always telling me, Monica, I want to go out and have a drink. I want to go out and party with my friends. I want to go. Well, if that's what you want, then if that's what's going to make you happy, then that's fine. But no, you don't understand. I don't really want a drink, but they're all telling me that I need a drink, and I feel very criticized and so on and so forth. So that took a lot of work between him and I to work that situation out with himself. And then now he feels good about it. Now he knows he can go out, have a drink if he wants, not have a drink if he doesn't want, and his friends do accept him for exactly who he is, which is really, really nice. But a lot of it had to do with what we spoke about just a few minutes ago, judgment of he felt judged. So now that's done and over, and he's in a much better place with his friends, as I'm sure you are as well. So
yeah,
on that note,
actually,
go ahead.
I wanted to do a quick snapshot of before and after, and
okay.
just share one connection that I want to make very clearly for the listeners out there. You know, like before I met Monica, like I would fly or drive to Las Vegas, and I live in California, so it's not that hard to get there. But I would probably fly and drive to Las Vegas like 8 to 12 times a year. And I would go, and every time I went, I would go to all of my friends, and I'd be like, hey, come on, let's go to Vegas, dude. Like, hey, come on, let's go party. Like, let's go drink. Let's go, you know, go wild in Las Vegas. And that was who I was. You know, that was part of the image that I crafted for myself. I was a super smart, successful, talented guy who was also in a rage and drink more than anybody else and kind of be like, that party instigator. So I would end up bringing a bunch of people to Las Vegas, and I would kind of, you know, put pressure on them. Like the second day comes by and everyone's like, I'm kind of hungover, you know, I don't feel that good. And I would be like, dude, shut up. Come on, take a shot. And I would put all this pressure on people to be a certain way and to be the way that I wanted them to be and to feed into like the fantasy of what I thought Las Vegas partying was. So I kind of like, before I met Monica, I had a drinking and drug problem myself, and I would kind of push my friends into living that lifestyle with me. And now it's like Monica said with her client in New York City, if my friends drink, that's cool. You know, and if they ask me to drink every now and then, I'll have a beer. But for the most part, we've had all these conversations at this point where they realize I just don't think drinking is that big of a deal anymore. And I don't push them not to drink. But I also don't mm-hmm. push them to drink, and I'm comfortable with myself. And I create a space where when they hang out with me, they feel comfortable with themselves. Because they might still be judging themselves, you know, because people do that sometimes. But
yeah.
I'm no longer pushing them to do that. I'm no longer feeding into that. So if you hang out with me, you know, you can have a beer, you can do whatever drugs you want, I'm not going to push you into doing it myself, though. And just because I don't do it, it doesn't mean that I'm going to tell you that you shouldn't. You know, I might say that, I might ask you about it, but like just to understand why you do it, and if like, that really makes you happy. But yeah, like now it's like about creating a space where everyone feels comfortable and they can do what is best for them. So that's a big change, and I don't go to Vegas as much anymore.
It's a big change for you, and I hope that you feel that it is and continue to feel that it is a positive change in your life. So I did want to ask you about your parents, because I think that this is important for all of the listeners out there, because, again, we fall into the trap of expectations, and sometimes it starts with our parents. You had a big talk with one of your parents. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. I've had big talks with both my parents, but I think I know the one that you're talking about. I spoke with my dad, and I just talked to him right before I got on the show to make sure that he was comfortable with me talking about the story.
Good. That's good. Very respectful of you.
Yeah, it is. It's important to respect the people you love. Everybody feels differently about things, so I've learned rather than that that saying that we have that's popular in America, you know, ask for forgiveness rather than permission. That's like a really, mm-hmm. really stupid. I know that sounds. I mean, I think it's a really ineffective way to treat people if you want them to feel good about themselves and the relationship that you have with them.
Yeah.
It prides Here's what it is. It's a selfish thing. I shouldn't say it's stupid. It's selfish is what it is. It's all about you when you think that way. So anyway, I talked to my dad right before I got on the show, and about 3 or 4 months ago, I think about 4 months ago, maybe even five, I was at my house in San Francisco, and my dad was visiting. And probably like a lot of listeners out there, I've grown up my whole life, and what my parents said to me was kind of what they said to me, and there wasn't always, in my head at least, there wasn't always space for me to talk to them about what they were telling me. I grew up in an Asian American household. Both my parents are Vietnamese immigrants who came to America. I was born here, but they were born in Vietnam. And we had a pretty, loving childhood, good relationship with our parents, but oftentimes what they said was what we were supposed to do, and we just had to listen. Or at least that's the way that I felt about it. But like growing up and becoming an adult, graduating from college, working, earning my own income, starting to really build out my own life, one of the things that had started to bother me about my relationship with my parents was that I didn't think that they cared about how I felt when they told me things. And this was just, by the way, this is just a perception. It's not reality. It's not the truth. It's just my perception at the time. So when my dad was visiting me, one of the things that that bothered me was that I always thought he was criticizing me. I think earlier in the day I had parked the car and it wasn't as close to the sidewalk as everyone else's. And my dad he made a comment saying, hey, you park kind of far from the sidewalk. All the other cars are parked much closer. You're not a very good driver. And he was just making what to him was an observational statement. But to me, it hurt my feelings. And I thought he was criticizing me. And inside, as soon as I heard it, I started to get very defensive and I started to kind of cringe. I started to be like, damn it, Dad, you're always saying stuff like that. Like, why are you always so critical of me? In my head, those are the thoughts that started to turn. And then, I kind of just ignored it. I was like, forget it. Let me push this some more down. I'm not going to talk to my dad about it because he's not going to understand or something. I might have brought it up very briefly, and then he started to, say what I thought was justification for what he said, and we weren't really getting to a resolution. So I just kind of pushed it down. I was like, forget about it. I'm going to forget about it. But then later that night, I was talking to my dad again, and we were talking about my career decision. And we were talking about the fact that I was working for Universe Series, which is a startup organization, and that he thought it was risky, and he didn't understand why I wasn't doing something that used my degree from Stanford, more closely. And I tried to tell him that it did, that it was a very good thing, that I was very passionate about the work that I'm doing now. But, but he had his opinion about what a man should be like. And it turned out it was very different from mine. And then we had an argument, like kind of a big argument, where I said a couple rude things to him. And I said, I can't let you talk to me and say those things to me in my own house. And it just came from a really, really angry place, like a place of rebelliousness, a place of long repressed frustration and anger about the criticism I felt that I had always gotten from my dad. And it didn't come out in a loving or understanding way at all. So right after this, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I just said that. I know that I said something bad. I know that I said something that was gonna hurt my dad's feelings. So I left the house for a little bit, and I went for a walk, and I breathed, and I calmed down, and then I came back in, and I asked my dad if we could talk. And we went to my bedroom, and the very first thing I told him was that I was very, very sorry for looking at the headset, because it had come out in an angry way, it had come out in a hurtful way, and I didn't have good intent in saying that statement. The first thing I did was say sorry to him, and he listened, and then I basically did my best to help my dad understand what I felt when he said, you know, these statements, when he gave me advice about my life, that I felt he was criticizing me and that it didn't make me feel good about myself, and that really what I wanted was support and love from him and understanding. And, you know, he told me why he did this, you know, why he gave me advice in the way he did. And he told me that he thinks that he wants me to have a good life, and he thinks that I need to understand these things, and that his advice will help. And at the conclusion of the conversation, I was very adamant about saying, well, look, Dad, I understand that you think that, but I'm telling you that it doesn't make me feel good when I hear those things. And he said, so what do you want? And I said, well, if it's going to be, you know, critical and you need to say it, then say it. But if I, you know, but if you keep saying it, it changes from advice and it becomes criticism in my eyes. So I'm going to ask you to stop. Stop criticizing me, you know, more than once, or stop giving me the same advice more than once if I say that I hear you and I just have a different opinion. And I said, I told him that, you know, I want to have a good relationship with him. I really do love him. I know that he really loves me too, but that if we continue interacting with each other in this way, I just keep getting frustrated inside because I feel like I'm not being heard. And I helped him understand my feelings, and I had to be honest about how I felt. Right, so this is like that part of honesty that you taught me. I had to be honest about how I felt, that I didn't feel good when I heard these things. And I had to let him know. And it was hard for me because I've never, like, I don't really have many times where I tell my parents that they're not doing things well. And it felt to me like I was almost like telling my dad, hey, you're not doing this thing well. And I was afraid that he wouldn't respond well to that. But at the same time, I knew that my intent was I want to have a good relationship with him, but I can't unless I have this conversation. I can't unless I have this healthy boundary where we both respect each other and we both give each other advice, but we also give each other the option of not taking our advice. Yeah. And that was the thing that I felt was imbalance. I felt that at the time I wasn't being given the option not to take my dad's advice, that he would keep coming back to the same thing until I took his advice, or until I got so worn down and so frustrated that I exploded at him and he would stop bringing it up. And that was just a very dysfunctional way for me and my dad to be.
Yeah.
So at the end of this conversation, he agreed. He said, okay, if that's what you want, fine. You know, like, and he wasn't, I think it was a shock to him that I had this conversation with him.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, just because, like, you know, it was a different kind of conversation. It was the beginning of a new dynamic between my dad and me. And he stood up and he shook my hand, and which was strange to me. You know, I thought it was a little strange that he shook my hand like we had a deal, but that's what it is. Like, we had a new deal between us. And from that point onwards, he was a lot more conscious about how we interacted with each other. He was a lot more conscious about giving me advice and making sure I understood what he was trying to say, but also I saw him try really, really hard not to jam stuff down my throat and to give me a choice. And I had to be very understanding of that, you know, this was a big change for him. And so sometimes even if he did give the same advice, I had to understand he's doing it because he loves me. And he's really trying to give me good advice. And I need to let him know when it's like moving into the space of it's not helpful anymore. So since that conversation, my dad and I have spoken to each other more. There has been less anger and frustration in our conversations. And we still disagree a lot on things, but we both understand the other person's side a lot more. And we're both more respectful of the other side not taking our advice if they don't want to. You know, an example is sometimes I tell my dad that he should pick up Monica's book and read it. And he tells me, well, I've read a couple bits and pieces of it, and I don't think it's right for me. And rather than continuing to tell him that he should, you know, I've learned to accept that and respect his choice, and it's similar vice versa. So it's been really cool, and I think it's helped. You know, I think that the work that we've done together has helped me and my dad have a better relationship.
I think that's amazing, and it has. And one of the things that, if we go back to the book, Universe 101, then you've learned complete honesty, You've learned the universal principle for understanding. You've learned how to love yourself. You're still learning how to love yourself. It's just amazing. Your life has definitely changed so much over the past year, and I've watched you change. Not only have I watched you change, but team members, our Universe Series team members have watched you change as well. You've learned effective communication. You've learned how to set healthy boundaries. And you've learned not to be selfish in those healthy boundaries, because a lot of people, what they do is they'll set a boundary and they'll only think about themselves for that boundary. They don't really consider what that boundary means for the other person. And for me, what I teach is to set healthy boundaries, and the healthy boundaries go both ways. It's on both sides of the relationship, because when you're in a relationship, you are in exactly that. You're in a relationship with somebody, and so you're not just dealing with yourself anymore. And so you don't just put out there, hey, this is what I want. You have to listen to what other people want as well and what is healthy for other people as well if you want to have a great relationship. It's very, very important not to be one-sided. So in learning effective communication, which is something that I teach and something that I practice, I want to go into your work environment. I think we have an amazing team. And I want to give a shout-out to Vanessa Hendricks and AJ Shaw and David No. We are a team that is all over the world, because I'm in California, as is Andrew, except I travel a lot, and Vanessa is in another state, and David No travels a lot, and AJ Shaw is actually in India for a while now. So we are a team that is all over the world, yet somehow, some way, we communicate effectively and we get a lot done. It's absolutely amazing to me, and I love my team. I love you guys so much, and I'm happy to be working with all of you. So in the growth that you've had over the past year, how do you feel about your work environment and your team members?
So I was talking to Monica about this earlier, just a little bit before the show, but basically, the way I feel about it is that this is the best work environment I've ever been in. I've been in top tier college work teams. You know, when I was at Stanford, there were lots of teams and lots of teams that you had to form in different classes. I've worked at the Boston Consulting Group, which is a top-tier strategy consulting firm that recruits the smartest people in the world. And I've worked in teams there, and I've worked at tech startups in the Bay Area. And I've worked in a variety of team settings. And this is my favorite one. This is my favorite one. And the
awesome.
Biggest reason for that, the biggest reason for that is it has to do with the respect that I think every member has for every other member, and it has to do with the consideration that we have for each other. It has to do with just the brilliance in different skill areas that each team member has. You know, David has vast knowledge on behavior design, and AJ has vast knowledge on marketing and networking and hustling, and Vanessa has, incredible attention to detail and warmth, and knows a lot more about the spiritual communities out in the world than I do, because she's
so
been part of them much
too.
Longer.
She's so creative as well. Vanessa's just amazing,
she's super creative.
Creative person. And with AJ and his marketing, I mean, he's just, AJ's our head of business development, and he's just always got these ideas, and he is the networker's networker. I mean, he blows me away all the time. And David, oh my gosh, he has taught me, a different lingo, actually, a different way to of calling things. And I rely on him when we go out and look for titles of stuff, or when I say, hey, I need to think about this group. How do I do it? David's so wonderful about that. And then you come into play, and you're you know, you come in and you kind of grab ideas and you present your ideas and you have this way of talking to people. And I've watched you grow immensely over the past year. And so you're learning how, I mean, you're really doing so much with streamlining things. And, I mean, it's amazing. You guys amaze me every day, I swear. You come up with these great content for our website, and, you know, you're putting together some more designing aspects of our website and stuff right now. And I'm just touching, this is like, I'm just touching on the little things that you guys do. I could go on and on and on about it, but I'm going to let you have the floor again.
Yeah, actually, that's a great example, though, of why I love our work environment. It's because there's immense gratefulness and appreciation in our team. It's one of the principles that, you know, you've taught us, Monica, to appreciate each other. And I've seen how appreciation over the span of a year can really change working relationships. Being appreciative of one another's work keeps everybody motivated and charged up to do more great work. Being considerate of each other and thinking about each other and being appreciative of everyone's time. Being appreciative of everyone's, you know, even putting in work and doing any work at all. Like, it makes us all also more considerate. And so in our communication to each other, I think we always think about what this person might need and what they're working on and the way that they're going to understand this. And, you know, this is a suggestion, and I might as well go ahead and help you understand why, because I know you're curious about it. It just, it makes for such a more open team environment than even, like, the startups in the Silicon Valley that claim to have super open environments because they're a startup. Like, I don't buy it because I've seen it, and I don't think that's true. Lots of places can learn more about really implementing gratefulness and appreciation into their team dynamic and their culture, because it would drastically improve the contributions of everyone on the team. One, and like it opens you up to see how much people are already contributing, and two, it stimulates and encourages and adds even more contribution and encouragement into the team dynamics and into the work that you do. So it's awesome.
It does.
I love it.
It does. I do too. And I want to actually give a shout out to Rob Resma. Rob Resma actually helped us put on two events at Stanford University, and I don't want to forget him. He was helping us. He doesn't work with our team full time, but he definitely stepped in and helped us do that. So thank you, Rob. Love you. We're not forgetting about you. You're awesome too. Andrew, we have a caller. Her name is Victoria. She's from Boise, and I met her when I did a lecture in Boise, so we're going to take her call right now. We're going to answer a question that she has. Hold on. Victoria, how are you?
Hi, Monica. Nice to hear your voice.
We are on the – yours as well. It's been a long time. We're on the show now with Andrew Dow. And I just wanted to say to you, make sure your computer is on mute so that we don't get any reverb.
Okay.
So, Victoria, tell us what it is that you have – what question do you have for us today?
Well, my husband and I are kind of an odd situation. Well, I don't know how odd it is, but anyway, I feel like we're kind of in a holding pattern right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's we're having a really hard time focusing. And I guess my question for you is, do you have any advice for me or for us? And is there anything that you think I could do right now to kind of get us out of this holding pattern?
Well, is the holding pattern, does it have to do with your relationship or does it have to do with business?
It has to do with a move we want to make, a physical move to another state. And I feel like we're kind of in a, I feel really stuck. And I feel like it's hard to focus on my life here when I feel like I don't want to be here.
Yeah, I see that you are stuck in a kind of, I see what I'm actually seeing, if you're asking me to look into your future, is that the move would be good for you, because for whatever reason, you're not moving forward in any aspect of your life because you can't seem to make that choice. What I'm going to say is the move, if you do make it, it's going to be really good for you. It's going to open up a lot of doors, and I think that that's what you want in your life right now. You can be in a really great place, but you have to, Victoria, you also have to feel secure with it. Okay, you have to feel good about your move in order for good things to continue to happen. So you're going to have to break that fear, whatever that fear is, break it down and figure it out. What is it really that you're afraid of? And then move forward from there. Because I see that there is, you know, you absolutely, there's this, like, thing waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So do you mind me asking you on the radio, on the show, what is it that you're afraid of? What's the big fear holding you back?
I think missing my family.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's Skype.
Right. And we will have to depend on that.
There's phone calls and there's emails and there's, mm-hmm. you know, I personally love cards. I love personal cards. They mean the world to me for whatever reason. I don't know why, but they do. Actually, I do know why. It's that attention to making that effort. So personal cards for
right.
me are mean the world. So, yeah, I mean, And you don't have to miss them all the time. You can absolutely, they can come out to see you. You can go back and see them. You can always keep those lines of communication open if you would like to.
That's true. It's just going to take some effort.
It does. And you know what? The effort's going to be so much, it's going to be worth it on so many levels because your relationships will blossom in ways that you didn't realize.
Well, I hope so. That's what, you know, I guess I'm just afraid that my relationships are going to, with my family, are going to go by the wayside, and that's really scary to me.
No, they won't. They won't. They won't go by the wayside. If that's your intent, and you know that's your intent, that you want to keep those relationships open and flourishing, then that's the work that you put into it, which is the Skype calls and the phone calls and then making the little trips and the cards or the, you know, little notes of thoughtfulness. That's, you're going to learn how to keep your relationships and have them flourish in a whole new light.
You know, you're so right, Monica. It's not just that too. It's my fear of my importance to them. And
I understand that, and I think that they'll surprise you as well.
I'm sure you're right. It's just that fear of, you know, self-doubt. It's that self-doubt that creeps in.
Yeah. Well, I know that you can do it. I believe in you. I know that you can do it.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed your show today.
Thank you. You're a very, very special woman, Victoria, and don't forget that. Don't forget that about yourself.
Thanks, Monica.
All right. Well, Annie, hopefully we'll talk to you again on our next show. We're going to be wrapping it up. Thank you for calling in, Victoria.
Oh, thank you, Monica.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everyone. We've got to wrap it up. It's been a wonderful show. Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. I hope that you can come back again on another show. I know that you have a lot to offer to our listeners and to the people around you as well. I want to leave everyone with Andrew. Andrew?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I just said thank you, and then I didn't hear you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the thank you. I was just listening to what you were going to say. I thought you had a message to say.
I do. I want to leave everyone with a thought today. Be kind today to others and to yourself. In being kind to others, please don't forget about yourself, okay? You matter as well. I'm also going to say, coming up tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, tune into your health and life transition with health coaches Tracy Phillips and Rob Payo. Tune in on Monday, August 4th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz, and we're going to discuss relationships and how to maintain them. Very, very important to all of us. Thanks for listening to Universe Talks with Monica Ortiz. Have a beautiful 2 weeks until we talk again, and peace and love to the universe.